He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
Jake Pontius is one of the co-founders of Nook Experiences, who has launched recently with one of my great friends, Michael Golden, also co-host of Good Morning Hospitality. And in this episode, we share his journey from beer brewing to hospitality entrepreneurship with his father, with Michael Golden, and what they've built at Nook Experiences. There is a big difference between a hard brand and a soft brand, and we dive into that today on top of what the community aspect looks like for these operators that have developed unique stays through glamping or outdoor resorts. So in this episode, I hope you take a lot from the community aspect that Jake has really built. There's a lot of similarities that we've seen in our podcast network to what they were building at Nook, or what even Michael and Justin Haughey have built at Storied Collection. So you're going to hear a lot of this in the episode, and I can't wait for you to get a lot of takeaways from this. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Now let's dive in to another podcast on Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. 3, 2, 1. You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. All right, Jake, we are finally at this moment. Welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me. It's beautiful.
Of course.
Wednesday. What is it?
Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah. Day before whatever. Valentine's for all the listeners. We are getting live on the podcast, and a little backstory before we fully jump into your story, Jake. You and I got to meet at a fun little retreat out in the Catskills right before Christmas. Great group of entrepreneurs in our industry. We are obviously connected through Michael Golden, so shout out to that guy for being the connector and networker that he really is. But your story is really interesting, and you guys are on an exciting adventure that's now publicly live that I've been able to hear about for a couple months before the official cat out of the bag. So, Jake, yeah. Before we jump into Nook Experiences, let's dive in. Give us some backstory for you. How you kind of got into development, the brewing, back to hospitality. It's quite the journey. So I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, it is a little probably on the different side of things, but, I started off in like first true non-bartending job out of college as a business analyst at a timeshare company called Blue Green Vacations. And that was great, but loved the analysis part of it. But, as a young man, decided eventually to throw that all aside and just cut everything and run to Germany to go to brewing college and become a brewer. So got into that. And, I'll always miss it. I'll always want to go back to it. But did that for past like 7 years. And then my father, though, has always been in hospitality. He was COO of Hilton and CEO of Blue Green eventually as well. So we have worked together, but we've always wanted to do something together, whether it be starting our own brewery or whatnot. But we had this thing that we worked on together at Blue Green. That was called Big Cedar Resorts, Big Cedar Lodge in Branson, Missouri. That was a collaboration with Bass Pro. And it's just this massive, this was early 2000s, very early stages. I don't think the term glamping had really become a thing yet. Like, it was used, but not known. And that project just kind of showed us tickled our fancy a lot. My family were just big outdoors people, randomly. We're from Orlando, but have moved around and lived everywhere. And so the idea of doing something in the outdoor hospitality space formed at that time. And it was always in the back of our minds, like, man, if we could figure out something to do on that, in that space, whatever it could be, let's try and do it. And so it kind of all worked out that, you know, 7 years into brewing, it became the time. My dad retired from his traditional work life and got bored of retirement very quickly. But at the same time, we had, right, COVID and glamping, and just not just glamping, but just the outdoor experiential stay, right? Even from a customer perspective, everyone wanted to get back out, reconnect with nature, and change the way that they travel to be something interesting and unique and bond and connect with not just nature, but each other, you know, because we spend all that time locked up. And so, but also the development of those properties just absolutely exploded. You know, if you guys have been on Airbnb at any time recently, I'm sure you have noticed that, you know, they've even sectioned it based on accommodation type. There's just so much out there. And that is what, that set us off on this path where we find ourselves now at Nook, which was because it was, you know, it was like, man, this space is exploding. There's not much, there's no real consistency to it. You know, it's so independent, which makes it so awesome. But at the same time, it means that, you know, for just, if you just want to go somewhere, it's, there's so many things on offer. How can you possibly tell what fits any sort of standard, comfort level, you know, the hospitality side of it, the experience side of it? You know, you can make something look amazing on Instagram and Airbnb, but it's, you know, that's all it is. It's just a really awesome structure, which there's value to, but, you know, you just don't know. And so that is where Nook kind of, that's where we formed, and that's where the idea came from of I think a soft brand in the space is something that's pretty viable, but not just viable, but really useful to kind of be able to set a standard and say, you know, this is the level that we think people do expect and should expect when they're going to travel, you know, and do outdoor experiential travel.
Definitely. And like, I even think before COVID, tree houses were becoming really popular, right? And that was like the new craze. There was obviously a lot of safety concerns, and then the kind of dome structures kind of came out and a few other things like that. But before we fully jump into the Nook side, I'm curious, from kind of early days before you got into this, you know, seeing your father be the COO of Hilton and get into like these high executive roles in hospitality in general, I'm curious, when you left to Germany to go to brewing school, was there a part of you that was just trying to, I always kind of think like, we're either running from something or we're chasing something. Was that you chasing or running away from potential footsteps of your father? I'm very curious of like the early day stuff. I know I was supposed to be a pastor to my parents' kind of path that they had set for me. And so, you know, I'm still preaching, just on a different different message in a different type of church. But basically, would love to know, what was that kind of journey like for you in the beginning? All right, Slick Talkers, interrupting this podcast really quick to give a quick shout out to our partners at Minute. Whether you're an outdoor operator, a vacation rental manager, or a hotel owner, you can use Minute to make sure that you will have no parties, no smoking, and no unwelcomed or uninvited guests during unoccupied stays or dates. So with Minute, you can have all this at the touch of your fingertips. Their mobile-friendly app and software is there for you to be, basically, like I said, your co-host. They're your eyes and ears with all the benefits of being privacy safe. So no more smoking and no more loud parties and no more unwelcome guests, all because of Minute. Grab the offer in our show notes, 2 months free for all of you listeners out there. And of course, let them know that we'll send you if you have 10 or more properties, because they will hook you up. So back to the episode.
Yeah. I mean, it was both. You know, I've kind of always been a kind of the black sheep gets a bad rap as if it's a negative thing, but I don't think so. You know, and I have one other brother, so it's hard to call yourself a black sheep of two, but aren't they both black sheep at that point? But I think it was both. I always, you know, initially coming straight out of college, I got into kind of into craft beer in college, obviously near the end, you know, when you can actually kind of stop just crushing Busch Lights and decide like hey, maybe I'll just have like two beers tonight and I'll just drink ones that taste good. But I just got deep into it. My friend and I started homebrewing together in an off-campus house, and it, you know, caught that little bug. And so it was something that I always paid a close attention to. And I went to school in Chicago, which was a good place for it to just kind of get into it. So it always stuck with me. And then getting out, all my applications were, technically I wanted to be in television production and that or brewing, and then settled into the business analyst end, just based on kind of my major qualifications when I studied in college, which was marketing communications. So it fit, and it was something that I was chasing. But yeah, there was definitely a thing of, you know, working for a company that was, obviously we're not day-to-day anything. You see very different levels in the company. But yeah, just having the same last name and everything, there was a bit that was kind of just like, I don't think it was the case, you know, but no one wants to be seen as a Nepo baby. So I'm sure, yeah. Subconsciously, that was definitely probably helped guide me to make the decision. Plus, sure. I mean, I got to go to, you know, Munich and live there for months while I studied under the former brewmaster of the oldest alt brewery in Dusseldorf. So like, who's not going to do that?
100%. And for all the listeners who are not watching the video version of this show, Jake has a very big kind of mountain man beard. So I think it makes sense that brewing just kind of naturally came with the beard, right?
I'm wearing a flannel. I know that I look like a brewer. I get it.
Yeah, 100%. I was wearing a flannel earlier this morning because it was a little cold. And I was like, you know, I figured Jake's probably going to wear one. Should take it off. Put on the bomber. Really play our roles right today. I love it. But no, it's like, it's really interesting too, because I think, I don't know, there's probably some kind of correlation, right, with brewing beer and outdoor experiences. Because I'm in Colorado, and it's a very outdoorsy, active state, where pretty much the saying is that every hike that you go on, the best part about it is that there's a brewery at the bottom for you when you're done. So you can have a beer, you relax, and go about your merry way and like kind of treat yourself for the brutal hike or 14er or whatever kind of journey you just went on. So I feel like, I don't know, for me, naturally, the beer, like beer and the outdoors kind of go hand in hand. So for the listeners that don't know like what a soft brand is, or maybe understanding what Nook Experiences really is encompassing, can you explain the business behind getting people connected to these properties and these developments that have popped up obviously through COVID, but have been around actually probably for a lot longer before the buzz actually even hit?
Yeah. And they have. It's been real fun, you know, a fun journey of kind of discovery and talking to so many different places and different, you know, I mean, some of these places have been around for way longer than probably anyone really knew. So the soft brand concept is, it's kind of easy to use others to say it, something like a Relais Chateau, which is a name that a lot of people, especially kind of in the hospitality industry, are familiar with. But it's effectively a collection of independent properties. So, you know, a hard brand would be like your kind of like Marriott's, where it's very specified as to what fits the brand. You know, we that brand determines thread counts of linens and things like that. Whereas softer. So it's more of a through line that connects all of these independent properties that are collected underneath that brand. So there's no ownership on our part or anything like that. But the, you know, kind of the purpose, especially for a consumer standpoint, is when, especially once you've grown large enough and your awareness is there, it's, you know, we have the through line of the outdoor experience. So the point being that we can set a standard for a customer to say, if I want to have an outdoor, you know, I want to go stay somewhere in the outdoors, or, you know, even outdoor adjacent, but that has a direct line to, you know, to various activities, kayaking or, you know, horseback riding, anything. if it's a Nook property, if it's, you know, aligned and affiliated with Nook, then I can expect a certain level of comfort, hospitality, quality lodging, you know, that also goes with that same standard applied to the outdoor experience. And then I'm glad you said the brewing thing, because it's actually, it's funny because, you know, people don't see it, but it's not that hard. It's a customer, beer is customer facing business. You know, the only way you succeed in beer is by pleasing the consumer. Everyone tries to like make the new thing and you get those flashes in the pan. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not pleasing the people coming into your tap room, then you're not going to do it. And, you know, yeah, like you said, you're in Denver. They have too many tap rooms. That's not true. You can never have too many, but some people might say.
I was just going to say, I'm on a bit of a dry spell right now because I'm going through like dry February, but I will say I'm never going to complain about too many breweries being in Denver or anywhere I go in Colorado.
That brewery experience, you know, it's, and it, like you said, it does match with the outdoors. And I think that's where kind of it comes to me. It all kind of combines, you know, same with like there's run clubs that end at a brewery, you know, and it's all, but what it's about is you go and have your experience, whatever your outdoor experience is, you know, skiing, kayaking, mountain biking. And like, so you can go and do that. And then you have a place to go back to that has kind of a community sense, so that even if you're in a group or you're alone or a small group, you're all, you know, and we had it at that retreat, right? The fire pit. And then you have everyone who's experienced their day collecting together, right? Around a shared, in a shared environment where you feel comfortable. The, you know, the place has provided this sense of comfort and warmth and togetherness, to where everyone, you share stories, you know, you make friends, vacation friends, right? Which, yeah, I don't get this whole thing now of like, oh, no one wants vacation. Vacation friends are the best. It's friends with all 100%. The benefits with none of the baggage. So
100%.
Yeah.
You're only there for 3 or 4 days. And outside of that, you're just looking forward to the next time that you guys get to gather around a fire pit. Or in our case, a very, very long dining room table to play flip cup. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. But so, and that to me is the other part of the experience of outdoor experience, is the experience of the outdoors itself, but also the experience of when you're in a place that just makes you feel comfortable, you know, like, but truly comfortable, where you can be open and honest because you don't have to worry about work. You don't have to worry about drama back home. You're just there in the moment and you're allowed to be there because the location, the accommodations that you have provided that feeling of comfort. So that's kind of our real core through line for Nook as a soft brand.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's a good explanation. I think a lot of the times, you know, the lines can get blurry. And so I'm curious for you guys, what's the vetting process look like when it comes to bringing on a property or a development group, if they're building out anything? Because I know there's a couple members in Nook already that we've either had on the podcast or that have, you know, kind of popped up throughout your guys' press release. So I'm kind of curious, what's that vetting process look like? How do you have that brand standard without being the hard brand that says you have to have this, you have to have that? Where does that line kind of draw for you guys?
Yeah, well, and that's what, you know, I said, if it's fun with this kind of the stage we're in, we're still really early stages. And, you know, the big push right now is getting more member properties, growing our base of properties, because it's a huge part of the business. Is essentially the bigger that we grow, the bigger our community is. And that community aspect is a huge part, you know, where we can connect because everyone's so independent. Like you're saying, it's tough to set the line, and you kind of have to let the line move as, you know, as you go. So we're still young and that line still kind of moves. And it's just individually, you know, each conversation you have, it fits, you know, and as we go, we find more and more kind of, okay, yeah, that's a thing. Like, I think that's probably pretty important. You know, the communal space for us became one of the immediate kind of you gotta have it, or you gotta at least you got to want it. You know, if that's in your future plans, that's, it's just something that is so crucial to the experience, unless you're going for a pure, you know, couples away retreat, you know, where the exclusion is the entire point of the trip. And so things like that, but it's pretty general, but you never know. There's different levels of everything, right? But like, you know, ensuite bathrooms are something that are helpful. I say that, but then, you know, if you're at a property and they designed a bathhouse to just be this incredible experience in and of itself, I think you could definitely do that. And if that were something that we saw, I would say, yeah, that works. Because, yeah, it's great. We get to move the goalposts, you know, all the time. But then as we grow, that line gets a little firmer and a little firmer, where it's kind of just a gut feeling, you know, obviously visiting the properties, staying there, getting the feeling of it's, the feeling is the big part, because we'll always be open, you know, you're always open with what a property does and doesn't have. You know, they're independent. They're not all going to be the same. That's one of the best parts about it. So you're never trying to hide anything of that. So it really is, does it feel like an experience in and of itself? You know, did you come away from there just with, you just had a really good time, and there were no, any complaints you had were about, you know, I don't know, stepping on a scorpion, like when you're out hiking in the hill country, which has nothing to do with the property. So
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where it is right now.
No, definitely. And you know, it's funny, cause like we're a little over 2.5 years or over two years doing our podcast network. And we're kind of the same way, right? Like we can't tell all these podcasts like what to do and who to have on and what to talk about, because they already had the shows existing before we came in. But as time has gone on, that line, like you said, has gotten firmer and firmer on like production quality, certain, you know, audience numbers, blah, blah, blah. So like over time, yes, it develops. So I think this stage is the funnest stage. I also think it's also the hardest stage, right? Because like you have kind of a loose ended kind of standard, but as it gets firmer, having those conversations now with brand partners or other independent brands that obviously, like you said, they have their own thing. Those conversations now get a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, which is actually great for all parties involved, because the hard conversations, you know, are what makes the needle move. And to quote a guest on the show that Michael and I do with Brandy on Mondays, you know, we had a guest named Max Farley on, and he talks about like the truth, or, you know, the standard takes the stairs, which is never easy, right? Like who wants to climb up 100 floors of stairs versus taking an elevator or an escalator? You know, like that's kind of the name of the game that we're in. So I'm curious, do you guys see ever like having Nook get into a hard brand position where you guys are creating that core standard property, maybe a flagship, anything like that, that comes in to set the example to kind of firm that line even harder in the future, or anything like that?
I mean, you know, this early stage of the game, I'm just not inclined to say no to many things right now. So yeah, if that opportunity were to present itself, it's definitely something we would consider, but you know, must play it as it lies.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about some, like, give me an example of one of the property like members that you guys have on board. I would love to like obviously give them a shameless plug, shout out, anything like that, but I would love to hear from you. Who's like one of the flagship early members that have joined Nook that you find as like a great example for the brand?
Yeah, I think you've had Ben on, right?
We had Ben Wolf on.
And you know, when you make something that looks like that, it's hard not to use the pictures. So Onera in Fredericksburg with Ben Wolf is one of our first member properties, not to mention, I'll just say it, you know, Dunya Camp over in Georgia and Calicoon Hills up in New York, Topoka Lodge over in California. I mean, North Carolina, my God, sorry about that. So yeah. And then Onera is one because it's very easy to point to as to the success and the kind of the standards, you know, because what Ben's built something pretty special and 100%. Is doing even more with it. It fits very well in what we were looking for, because like to me, the Fredericksburg aspect of it, you know, you could argue in a way that Fredericksburg, I don't know, people don't know Fredericksburg, Texas. It's over in, you know, less than 2 hours away from San Antonio, 2 hours away outside of Austin, deep into hill country, but it's a Texas wine country too. And Fredericksburg is this awesome old Texas German town that has an incredible brewery in it called Altstadt. And it's just this really culturally rich place from time. And you could make an argument of like, well, how is that outdoors? You know, but because Onera is 1 mile from Main Street, so you're not super far away. But the way that Ben set it up, when you're there, I mean, you would have no idea that you're 1 mile if that's too far, but you're walking distance from just the main street of this, you know, super unique town that has, you know, all this life in it, all these shops, restaurants and everything. But to me, that's the thing, is you feel like you are out there on your own, by yourself in these super unique accommodations, you know, soaking tubs, dark sky community. So your Texas hill country night sky, you know, I mean, a good example of this is the total solar eclipse in April is going directly over their line. So I'm thinking whoever is lucky enough to book a room in Onera for that. Camp Comfort also is in Comfort, Texas, another one of our properties, and those two. But like, you will have full view in one of the prettiest areas. And then when the eclipse is over, because I think it's midday around there, you can walk into town, you can drive a couple of miles and hit one of the many vineyards in the area. They've got Enchanted Rock State Park is just a couple miles outside of there for hiking and like breathtaking, beautiful views. So it just hits all of those things where you have your outdoors, you have all of your creature comforts, you know? So if you wanted to go with a group, a family, and obviously even in families, everyone has their own likes and dislikes. You know, dad wants to go for a hike and take the kids, but mom just kind of wants to chill for a little bit. Fully, all of those are doable on the same day. Everyone can have what they want to make their experience the best.
No, I love that. And I think, like, you know, you're not too far out in the bush where, like, obviously getting anything convenient from food or whatever it might be is a hassle. But, you know, during 2020, like the lockdowns of COVID, I created a destinationaire concept, right? Whereas people that are wired to create remarkable experiences are anticipated and shared. But the other translation of it, where it's like you're a destination maker, and now you're seeing the Michelin group or the Michelin company that created the Michelin star for restaurants are doing the same thing for now hotels and other experiential hospitality brands, where you're creating the destination where the guest shouldn't have to leave. But if they do, they have the convenience of being right down on Main Street, having the stores and the shops and the restaurants and all the things. But you're not so far out. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're creating the destination for the convenience of whatever you feel like having, being unplugged. We've had Eric Moeller from Free Wild on, where they have like wild mode and free mode at their property. So like, you can lock up your phone, your Wi-Fi turns off, the TV doesn't work if you're in wild mode. But if you're in free mode, then you can have, you know, all the things and accessibility and technology. So like, I think what you guys are aiming for is destination makers that find that convenience of never letting your guests have to leave. But if they do, they have the perfect array of activities, experiences, etc.
Well, and it's all that through line, you know, that like we were talking about with the line, it's kind of moves, because that's another bar kind of for us is drive to ability, right? It just makes sense. You know, I am an avid skier, and there are some places that I've wanted to ski for my whole life, and I just haven't been because a good example, and there's some amazing properties out there, is Mammoth. Because for me, you know, I live in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm from Florida. So for the idea for me to go for a ski vacation, to fly all the way to California to like San Francisco or because I'd have to, right? And then it's like a 5 hour plus drive from San Francisco. It's makes it tougher. It's a destination in and of itself. So it's okay. And, but that's where you get into the kind of that interesting line, because if it's worth it, then it's worth it. But the experience has to be worth it. You know, I think state parks kind of fall in a similar line, you know, and you've got some of the big players in the glamping space who've done a lot of work with state parks. Some of them are hard to get to in from, you got to go to a regional airport. So it's going to get pricey. Then you're going to have to drive and everything. But that's the thing. It's, just, you know, it's a North American state. It's a U.S. state park. It's totally worth it in the end. So kind of gets on that level too.
For sure. I love the idea of the kind of like, I hate using the word glamping, so I'm just going to say actually like the outdoor brand. And we actually started, almost worked with a company. I'll give them a shout out, even though we're not working with them, but Tenzin out in Washington State, just outside of, I think it's Battlefield, Washington or something like that. But basically like what they were building is these unique kind of Asian styled themed cabins where like the soaking tubs are very popular in that culture. So they had like outdoor soaking tubs, and we got to tour the land and it was really great. It was a little far because like right across the bridge is like Portland, and you're kind of on that borderline of Washington State and Oregon.
Oh yeah. Columbia Gorge area.
Yeah. It's around that area. And, you know, as they're developing, they were showing us plans of a spa and a restaurant and these things and all this other stuff. But the initial phase in the beginning still met that standard of like, all right, if the guests get here and we don't have the spa, we don't have all this other stuff, they still have the accessibility to X, Y, and Z things from, you know, the local shops, the local restaurants, etc. But creating that standard. So I guess I always come back to, because one of the conversations we have on this show a lot through like the vacation rental side is there's a lot of quote unquote Airbnb hosts that get into the game. They don't have a standardized process. They don't have standard linens, technology, communication, etc. But then as they scale, they start to realize like, holy shit, I think I need to make something kind of standard. Do you think, like, how does that conversation not have with Nook and the properties that you guys bring on or the members, but when they're initially starting their development, are they already thinking of standardization within their properties, or are they still at that part where it's kind of like trying to figure that out and make it, you know, the linen count and like kind of like that stuff, the stuff the inside the actual unit itself, if that's making any sense. I kind of just feel like I rambled, but yeah.
No. Yeah, it does. I mean, hate to keep repeat myself, but it's so different per conversation, per person, you know. And that, like I said, that's why it's really fun just meeting so many people who are doing, you know, I mean, if you go macro, right, they're all doing the same thing, but it's completely different. And everyone has totally different backgrounds, you know. Get a lot of people coming in, like younger tech people that are coming in, trying their hand at it. You have people coming out of long-term hospitality life, and they want to, you know, so they know what that all, they know all about that stuff, but doing it yourself, whole different ballgame. So it's just, it's really interesting how different it is. And I think some people have that kind of knowledge base and understanding to where they know that that's how they're going to, you know, they think of scale ahead of time. But I also think there's a lot of people who are figuring it out as they go. And you can see that too. And there's a lot of places where great pieces of land, a lot of acreage, but like we'll start small. And then there's some where it's like, we'll just start at 20 or, you know, start at 40 units and go and just rush right into it, which not rushed as in a bad way, but, you know, go full bore. And I don't think that either is wrong at all. You know, one of the things to put it to Nook a little bit is one of the things that I think we bring to the table is the, you know, because my dad is the CEO and myself and Michael, our other co-founder and your fellow podcast host. And, you know, Michael created Storied, right? Which is technically that's also part of the beginnings of Nook, because his work with Storied was kind of what clued us in to the concept of the soft brand. And then we took that and applied it to the outdoor hospitality and said, I think that would work. So, you know, we've got the amazing, the golden boy who knows this, knows the business of it. Yeah. And, but Michael himself, right, has been in hospitality for decade plus and in the short term space. And then we just, with our combined history of the industry and at very, you know, short term rental side to 40 plus years at some of the biggest hospitality companies in the world, we have a lot of experience with every aspect of it. And the ones that we don't necessarily have, you know, we can't attend to personally, we definitely have the connections that can help with that stuff as well. So we think that that's also, that's part of, you know, what we're kind of offering up is because everyone's at such different levels, it's, you know, hey, if you ever need someone, we would probably know someone, or we can find someone. We know someone who knows that person. And I mentioned the community aspect, which to me, that's a huge part of it. Cause this whole development community it's crazy because we're focused on North America. If you take it out, you know, Europe is on fire with it too. And it's huge. The network is huge, but you know, it's just like America, right? The way we're separated is you have your market kind of, and it's other than the conferences and trade shows, it's hard to really connect. And we all know that the connections made via conference can be tenuous, we'll call it. So one of our things is that as we grow, the bigger we get, I call it the rising tide approach, is that, you know, the bigger our community of member properties is, the better we can all serve each other, you know, from a literal lead standpoint, just, you know, like event booking leads. But to, you know, you look at, right, Ben, we have Ben and Onera, who is growing one property and developing another. So he's going through that stuff right now. So if you were to be another person in Texas, you know, Ben would be super helpful if you're looking at, I'm like 2 years out from growth. So, you know, what would that look at? Well, there's a guy who can probably has some sort of insight for you, you know, or you don't know anyone in your market. Maybe you're going into a really small market or undeveloped market, which trust me, there is a lot left to be done. If anyone wants to know, the Midwest is cooler than people think and definitely can host outdoor experiential properties. You just gotta envision it.
That's good.
But you know, and it's the networks that can be built within us and using kind of us as that through line for them, I think is huge because it's just so different. Such a wide swath of people, ideas, concepts, and struggles. You know, everyone's struggle is different because every county has different ordinances. And, you know, it can get so granular. And because most of the independents are, you know, it's amazing people who are just putting their all into it, I understand how easy it can be to just get bogged down in the little stuff and sometimes lose sight of the big stuff, or to get so carried away with the overall with the macro side that you forget some of the micro stuff, which would, you know, could eventually hurt the macro stuff in the long game. So
yeah, well, it sounds like Nook is very similar to our podcast model in the sense of like, this is a very community focus. You have the core like offerings, you can't really tell people what to do, but you have that standard line moves. Like I very much see the similarities in business, even though they're completely different industries in reality. But it's super interesting that you bring up the community piece the way you did, because I think that's what we've realized to be the most important piece. Is like, yes, we do production, yes, we do sponsorships, blah 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 blah, but what we're hearing now from all of our podcasters or our hosts is that they want to grow. They want to figure out what other people are doing that makes this work and what this is and blah blah blah. There's a whole education piece behind the scenes that you kind of have to build out now. And that's where I've always struggled. Like I'm always Mr. Macro, where I love the 30,000, 300,000 foot view. I don't want to like come down to earth sometimes. I'm very like in the sky, in the clouds. And, you know, having to realize, okay, like there's a lot more that's needed outside this business than I expected, which you guys are probably seeing too. Your members are probably, well, I'm curious, am I the only one that's struggling with this issue with outdoor development? And there's obviously now you have weather that impacts the properties and the structures in general and reservations and just all the things, right? Like it can get very out of control, especially with things like weather that definitely you can't control. So it's very interesting. And I love the community aspect because so many people in the entrepreneurial hospitality sector do say like either A, I've stumbled into hospitality, short-term rentals, hotels, whatever category we're in, stumbled into it, not intentional. Very few go to school for it or say, you know, when they're 7 years old, I'm going to become a hotel manager or GM or brand owner, whatever you want to go. And then, you know, once they stumbled into it, it's very isolating. Sometimes you don't know where to reach. You don't know what conferences are there. You don't know what podcasts or YouTube channels are out there. You kind of just kind of get in your own world, which is kind of ironic because you're creating a destination. So you get trapped in that realm of what is in your acreage, so to speak, for maybe an outdoor brand. So it's really important. I think people underestimate the community side way too much compared to the actual like reservations, the brand, the overall like guest experience. Like those are all great. You need to cover them. But if you don't have the community behind the scenes to like actually tap into and better and level up and maybe even just have that good therapy session over a beer and a bonfire, then, you know, that's, I don't know. I feel like that's the part that really makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, that's kind of the thing. I think, you know, I personally don't think I would have engaged in the Nook enterprise if not for the fact that I think that this world is, I think it's real. I think it has some serious legs, and the best way to prop it up is everyone succeeding. You know, the more success, the more that people can build and treat this and create this world, the better for everyone, for the customer, right? Down to the consumer level, because then they have choice, options, places to go that they would never be able to go to otherwise. You know, and then for, you know, obviously, just for the success of people. I don't want anyone to fail. So, but yeah, I mean, that's why I just think the community aspect is big, especially, you know, we know how hospitality works. We know that,
for sure,
you know, the interest will come from larger places and it'll be there. So keeping that, you know, I'm a huge music person. So honestly, a lot of times I liken it to, which I don't know, maybe I'm absurd, and right beater, obviously. I'm just, it's all the same. but it's like independent music. It's like a music scene. It's like a local music scene. You know, the stronger that the tight-knit actual local scene is, the better for the scene in the long run, and more bands will start coming out of it that gain more success. And they'll, you know, bring those bands, the other bands on tour with them, and they'll get more success. And then suddenly you have an entire new subgenre within, you know, your own. So and we can do that, but not for music.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I was a band manager in high school, my buddy's band, and now taking over pretty much the Pacific Northwest with, you know, you've gotten to play with like Sublime with Rome and a couple other bands, and pretty cool stuff, like how they all network together. So, and I think from like a Nook experiences piece, the cool part is, I think when you're a guest, like if I'm in the traveler's shoes and I experience a great outdoor brand, let's say it's Onera, and I get to experience that, and I obviously would love to keep going back. Who doesn't want to keep going back to a place like that? But I think you want to try new things. And then so to have that network effect where I can say, okay, well, Onera is part of Nook experiences, great. What else is there to experience? Like there's this whole ripple effect that can happen. And I think that carry through, you know, it's just like for us, like the listener crossover of podcasts is the guest crossover of properties that you guys have the ability to do with the brand that you guys have built. So super important key. It's one of those things that like over time it compounds, which is great because it's, you know, a lot of people think it just happens overnight sometimes, but overnight and 3 years later, you know, then you start to really see that effect, which is where you get to prove the value, and just takes time. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of consistency.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, in this specific model, early days are the early days and stuff, because the more we grow, the easier it is to do everything. And what you said is exactly, you know, that's how I think of it, especially in a customer, like on the B2C side, it's very organic. And in that, you stay somewhere and realize like, oh, this was amazing, you know. But, and then I love the idea of thinking, and I know that, you know, a lot of the OTAs, we're not an OTA, but have kind of segmented their searches in this way. But to me, it's crazy that it took them so long, because it's just like how a normal person would travel, right? So for me, you know, all right, well, so we've never checked out California, right? Like, I mean, not me personally, but I'm saying just if someone, you know, stayed at Onera, now they know Nook, and, you know, eventually I cannot tell you that we have a property in California right now. We're working on it. So I wonder if they've got like a cool outdoor spot over somewhere in California, right? Or my wife is into horses. That part's true. So like, we've always wanted to do some mountain riding in Montana. You know, I wonder if Nook has any places that are, you know, within distance or offer the horseback riding in Montana. It just makes it so much easier than trying to DIY it on Google, which we all know can seem really easy until you're on page 7 and you've kind of completely lost the plot as to what you were even doing in the first place. And and you're looking at, you know, like glamping spots in Saudi Arabia. And you're like, what am I doing again?
How did we get here? What is going on? Yeah, no, I know the struggle. Sometimes too many late night Google threads that just go down such a deep rabbit hole. No, but I love that. And, you know, there's so many other questions I could ping up for you, but I'm going to save a couple for our unique stays roundtable that we're doing, mentioning Ben Onera, a couple others that we've had on the podcast and some that we haven't. So I'll save those for that. And for the listeners, that will be coming out the week after you're hearing this episode. So make sure you stay tuned if you want to hear more. But Jake, one of the questions I'd love to ask for our guests on the show around the end of the episode is, one, what's one place that you would love people to go to, check you out, check out Nook, etc.? Obviously, we're going to link everything in the show notes, but if they had the top link that you want to make priority, what would that be?
Our website, nookexperiences.com.
Awesome. And it's a beautiful website. I've checked it out a couple of times. I'm really impressed. There's not a lot of I think if you're going to be a brand, you have to have a good website. And I've seen some brands pop up and you're like, what the hell is this website? Like, why does it look like it was made on 1995 dial-up? Like, it just is trash. So
yeah, glad it doesn't have to be like mind blowing, you know, but it's gotta be clean. It's gotta be good.
Yeah. Clean, mobile, functional, all the stuff. All right. We just mentioned that the Nook Experiences website is really nice. So if you're an operator, you're probably thinking, well, I think my website's nice too, but you're probably wrong. No offense. A lot of operators struggle with building a good branded website that's functional and is easy for your guests to use and book a stay with you. So our partnership with Hudson Creative Studios and Hostfully have really powered the operators just like you who listen to this podcast. They also power our brand, Recreation Rentals. So when you go to that website, you're going to see that the booking engine is nice, seamless, and smooth. And of course, that our property management software backs all of it. So when we get a direct booking, it's easy for our team to see. It's easy for us to manage and communicate with our guests and just have that consistent experience via the interweb. So check out Hudson Creative Studio. Get with them to build your direct booking website and your brand to make sure that you really stand out from the crowd. And don't forget, power everything that you do in your operations with Hostfully. Hostfully is the heart and core to your operations as a hospitality operator, whether you're in the outdoor scene or a hotel owner, a vacation rental homeowner, manager, etc. You need to have them. You need to be with them. And just like always, they're giving our listeners amazing discounts. So grab the link in the show notes. Make sure you let them know that Will Slicker sent you. And when you're ready to change your PMS because maybe it's not working for you, Let them know that Will sent you, of course, and that you're a slick talker out there that's been a part of the podcast and the community that we've built here, and they'll give you a great offer and discount as well. So, like we said, back to the episode. Check out the links. You guys rock. Awesome. And then one question I've been really interested in this last year, and I've asked this to a couple of guests on the show. The first time I asked this was on our operators roundtable early January. So I'm curious, what's one thing you've changed your mind on in the last 12 months?
Like concerning this or just in general?
Anything. And it could be personal, it could be business, anything that you're like, we're so dead set on. And then recently over the last 12 months, give you a wide window that you're like, you know what? I know I was kind of against this, but I will say maybe I was wrong or I'm open to the idea or et cetera.
You know, I mean, man, that's tough. I feel like I'm a pretty open guy, so it's not like not a lot I say no to. This is tripping me up. You're gonna have to...
I know. I was gonna say this is a curveball at the end. One of my. I'll give you an example, like a stupid cheesy one on the personal side. No iced coffee during the winter. That just doesn't make sense. I think that's the craziest thing you could ever do, having iced coffee when it's snowing outside. So, changed my mind on that. I had a iced caramel latte at the airport. Watched the snowfall. It was actually kind of lovely. So I was like, all right, I changed my mind. One thing, but yeah.
I guess one thing would be, it sounds weird, but I've realized in the last 12 months that I can form a habit pretty well. I'm pretty good at forming a habit if I need to. So I'm using that for positive habits, obviously. I'm sure there's a negative side. But yeah, that was one where that's more of like, I didn't know, but I never thought of it as the ability to form a positive habit easily. And it's just like, if you just do something for 5 straight days, you just start doing it. I don't know. Maybe just get used to doing it. It was easier than I thought.
I like that. I like that. New habits, good habits, getting rid of the bad, working on that myself.
Yeah,
it's
just adding good ones. All I'm at. Yeah.
Adding good ones before you take away the bad ones. I like it.
Yeah.
Just stack more good than bad. You should be fine.
You know, exactly. You just balance it out with more good habits. Then you're good.
100%. I love it. Well, Jake, this has been a true pleasure to have you on the podcast. It's been a long time in the making. I know from our time at the retreat to now where we are today, but it all lined up perfectly. So for all of the listeners, make sure you like and subscribe all things Nook Experiences. Links are in the show notes. Give them a like, a follow, a shout out. And of course, if you haven't already, like and subscribe to the podcast. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoy the show and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week.